Would all of our colleagues in the Senate chamber, as well as our guests in the upper galleries, please rise for a prayer by Reverend Gawk, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
The 147th Psalm we hear. He covers the earth and the heavens with clouds, and he prepares rain for the earth. We are thankful for the sun and the rain and the snow that water the earth and prepare it for growth that feeds us and your creation. We are thankful for all that you do for us and delight in the seasons that brings renewed interest and activities. We are thankful for opportunities to serve others and to share love with those whom you have given to us. And so, dear Lord, we ask, continue to walk with us this day and bless those things we do that are acceptable to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, here. Bernsketter, here. Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, here. Cunningham, here. Igel, here. Emery, here. Hageman, here. Hoskins, here. Huff, here. Koenig, here. Leibla, here. Luchtmeyer, here. May, Nasheed, here. O'Loughlin, here. Onder, Riddle, here. Rizzo, here. Romine, here. Rowden, Sater, Schatz, here. Shoup, here. Sifton, here. Wallingford, here. Walsh, White, here. Whelan, aye. Williams.
A quorum has been established. The Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session. Eighth day, Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Kehoe in the chair. Reverend Carl Gawk offered the following
Senator
prayer.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though it hadn't been fully read.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that the reading of the journal be waived, but it be approved as though having been fully read. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the journal. Introduction of guests. Senator from Phelps County.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my left and your right, my favorite middle child, Brody Brown, is here today. He goes to college at Mizzou, and please help me welcome him here today. Thank you.
Let's welcome Brody to the Senate chambers today. Senator from Phelps, may I inquire of you?
Absolutely.
Would Brody be the grandson of one Dr. Dan Phelps?
He is.
Brody, we're sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Barton.
Mr. President, I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send your concurrent resolution forward.
I'd ask that it be printed in the journal.
There is no title. It shall be printed in the journal. Senator, do you care to explain your concurrent resolution?
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. The order of business is concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 20th District.
I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send your concurrent resolution forward. There is no title. It shall be printed in the journal. Senator, would you care to explain your concurrent resolution?
Please. Thank
Proceed.
You. Thank you, Mr. President. You know, this state overwhelmingly supported and voted for this president. And I think that what we're seeing on the national level is really a shame to the electoral process and to the democratic process. And so with that, I'm offering this resolution, Mr. President, to admonish what's happening on the federal level. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. The senator from Platte County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a Senate joint resolution.
Please send your SJR forward.
Resolution.
Madam Secretary, please read the joint resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution number 60, introduced by Senator Lukemire, a joint resolution relating to health care.
Senator, would you care to explain your resolution?
Yes, Mr. President, I would. As we all know, visiting with our constituents, one of the critically important issues that our state deals with is affordability and accessibility to health care. There is a current challenge that's working its way through the United States Supreme Court over the issue of denial for pre-existing conditions. Currently, that is unlawful under federal law. There's some concern that that provision of the ACA, which enjoys broad bipartisan support, could be struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Also, the requirement that children be able to stay on their parents' health insurance until they graduate from college is also something that is under potential attack right now with that effort in the Supreme Court. What we've seen is we've seen many states that in response to that have passed laws to protect those provisions of the ACA under state law should they ever be struck down by the United States Supreme Court. This SJR does just that, Mr. President. In addition to that, we also know that there is a ballot initiative that's being pushed right now that would require the expansion of the state's Medicaid program. Some of the fiscal estimates as to the cost of that are upwards of $200 million a year. The proposal that's currently out there, there is no indication of how that's to be paid for. The governor warned in his State of the State a couple of weeks ago that this would be tantamount to a massive tax increase in the state of Missouri. There is concerns about the impact that this would have on funding for our state schools, funding for education, funding for other important priorities of the state, such as infrastructure. And, Mr. President, what this does is it says that should that IP pass, that the legislature is not going to be forced to appropriate money to Medicaid expansion. It is appropriate in good fiscal responsibility that the state always have the ability to say whether or not we're going to appropriate money to a fund. This would be an unprecedented power grab to require the legislature to expand Medicaid and to give the state no control over its own financial destiny. That is reckless, it is misguided, and so this SJR is designed to remedy that, Mr. President. We actually have recent information today. I had about four or five people send this story to me. In New York, a state that voluntarily adopted Medicaid expansion, is struggling on how to cut billions of dollars from their budget because of the financial unsustainable nature of Medicaid expansion. And in fact, the governor of New York just recently said that they're projected to have deficits next year alone of nearly $2 billion, all because of the expansion of this program. And we've seen time and time again in states around the country that the cost of Medicaid expansion far exceeds the estimates. So when we talk about $200 or $250 million a year, Those numbers may underestimate the cost of Medicaid expansion. And so I think this is a financially prudent thing to do to make sure that the state is kept in good financial order and to make sure that we're protecting some of our most vulnerable citizens against denial for pre-existing conditions should Medicaid expansion pass through this IP. And Mr. President, with that, I would love to inquire of the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed. If we could keep our conversations down to the side galleries, are at a minimum so we can hear the two senators. Please proceed.
Senator, thank you for accepting the inquiry.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good evening.
So I know you and I have had some conversations about this issue, the trajectory that we could be on if Medicaid expansion were forced upon the state of Missouri, because, and this predates my time in the legislature, but my understanding is that this body has repeatedly said no to Medicaid expansion, and now we have yet another IP that is attempting to circumvent this body rather than going through the normal legislative process.
That's right.
And to try to force, I think in an unprecedented way, I'm not aware of any other area of the budget where we are told in the Missouri Constitution you shall appropriate money for this purpose, but certainly that's what this IP appears to aim to do.
Well, it is. The IP does appear to aim at that. I think it contradicts the fundamental structure of our government, our system of separation of powers. I suppose by that token, we could put an IP on the ballot that said every man, woman, and child shall be sent a check for $100,000 and the legislature shall appropriate. Well, what happens then? It's just nonsensical. The power of the purse, the power of appropriation, always has, in both our federal and our state systems of government, resided in the legislature. The governor submits his proposed budget, the House writes their budget, the Senate considers that, we go to conference, we talk about it. So it's absurd, but, you know, I think, you know, you and I have talked about this article from National Public Radio, no conservative media outlet, no Fox News. And, you know, you read it. Governor Andrew Cuomo is concerned that budgets next year, because of budget deficits, because of Medicaid expansion, will top $2
billion.
Now, how many times have you heard the advocates say that Medicaid expansion will save money?
Save us money. And yet, every single state that has expanded Medicaid,
yes,
none of them have saved money. It's cost all of them money. So
they have not. And honest estimates, attempts at honest estimates in every one of those states, it ended up costing double those estimates. In every state, the Medicaid expanders, and I always refer to it as an Obamacare Medicaid expansion. And it's a Medicaid expansion to able-bodied working age adults and expand, in Missouri's case, 800,000 able-bodied working age adults would be put on this particular welfare program. And to say that that costs nothing, because it's all free money from the federal government, as if federal money is free, Senator. It's either paid for today by tax dollars, or it's paid by your children and my children over the decades as we pay off China and other investors in the United States. So we are really being sold a pig and a poke. And again, when Andrew Cuomo worries that it's going to cost his state $2 billion, with a B, dollars, and he, I think elsewhere in this article, he says, you know, we don't know where to cut. We're going to have to raise taxes. So last week, the governor was right. It would require a massive, unless we want to slash higher ed, K through 12, transportation, law enforcement to the bone, it would require a massive tax increase to do an Obamacare Medicaid expansion in the state of Missouri.
And I think what's so interesting is that when the proponents of the IP put their language out there, they didn't create a funding mechanism.
And I
wonder why that is, because if they put a funding mechanism in place,
It
would be a tax.
They
couldn't pass it at the ballot.
Oh, no.
So they just said, we'll force this upon the legislature and make them worry about it later. They have to make difficult decisions like, you know, cuts to education.
Well, and you mentioned proponents of Medicaid expansion. I'm glad you used that term, Senator, because, of course, we know there are a lot of progressive groups promoting Medicaid expansion. But some of the biggest funders are the hospital organizations. And, you know, they were here in 2015. You know, and some people told them at the time, don't come back to us for the FRA tax if you're going to keep shoving Medicaid expansion down our throat. But it made me think back then, and I'm thinking today. Hospitals, most of which in the state of Missouri are organized as nonprofits. Hospitals are organized as nonprofits. What does that mean? That means they don't get charged taxes. So in 2015, I remember Steve Lipstein, CEO of BJC, and I had dueling op-eds in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. In that particular year, BJC had revenue greater than expenses of, I believe it was $600 million. Now, in the real world, we call that a profit.
That's a good year.
Yeah, that would be, I know some certain underground companies that would, you know, like to have those kind of, that kind of a bottom line. That's a profit, and they get charged not a penny in taxes. They pay their CEO $6.5 million. They at the time they were undertaking $1 billion capital project, new towers, new cancer centers, new hospitals, $1 billion. Could you imagine if the city of St. Louis could send a real estate tax bill to that particular nonprofit? They could afford one heck of a free clinic, couldn't they?
Yeah.
And the reason, why do we give hospitals that in many, many ways act like for-profits? Because heaven knows, try not paying your bill to the hospital, and they're coming after you.
You might end up in a debtor's prison.
You will get brought to court. Ultimately, your wages will get garnished. Liens will be placed on your real and personal property. Hospital debt has put more people in bankruptcy than casinos and drug and alcohol abuse and any number of social problems put together. But why do we give hospitals non-for-profit status? We give them non-for-profit status, we are told, because they give away so much free care, charity care. And yet, here we are, after the legislature, as you said, has repeatedly refused to embrace an Obamacare Medicaid expansion. Here the hospitals are coming to us and they're coming to the state of Missouri saying, we're not going through the democratic process of going through the legislature. We're going to go around you. We're going to throw a few million bucks at this, and we're going to get the people of the state of Missouri to give us what the legislature refused to give us. And it's going to cost, no, it's not going to cost $200 million. You can at least double that, Senator, probably triple it. But we're doing it so the hospitals could do less free and low-cost care. Maybe we should start looking at some of the other goodies hospitals get. Now, I am friends of executive CEOs at some of our rural hospitals that really are struggling, that really are hurting. But I'll tell you, in the area around, in the eastern part of the state, and this is probably true in the western part of the state too, in the big urban areas, you cannot drive by without there being a crane putting up another $10 million, $100 million, billion in the case of the BJC project, another billion-dollar capital project. I just find this appalling. The debt collection practices, the compensation of key executives, the anti-competitive behavior. Lawyers, when they leave one law firm, covenants not to compete are unenforceable. Because it's really viewed by the bar as being unethical to deprive a person of their relationship with their attorney. And yet, so-called nonprofit hospitals will enforce covenants not to compete with doctors who are part of their system very aggressively. Which is fine in a competitive, in a free market where you have two equal parties. But we have entities that are benefiting incredibly financially from their nonprofit status And then they're going around the legislature to expand Medicaid, which ultimately your constituents and my constituents are going to have to pay for.
Well, and I think that the timing of this is ironic. I mean, we hear the president, we heard the governor last, you know, week or 2 weeks ago for the State of the State, talking about historic low unemployment across the board.
Exactly.
In all classes.
Exactly.
Historic low unemployment. And yet now we're talking about ballooning and expanding the size of what is already the single largest social welfare program in the state of Missouri, accounts for over a third of the state's budget, making it even bigger.
And every year accounting for almost most, if not all, of the growth in the budget. You know, we were told that last year over Medicaid rolls shrunk by over 100,000. And yet the governor's budget request, I believe, asks for another $450 million for Medicaid. And again, that's before expansion. You know, already, I believe the number now is one out of nine, maybe one out of eight Missourians is on Medicaid. And the expansion population is exclusively able-bodied, working-age adults. Do we want to do this?
And if expansion were to happen without a funding mechanism,
yes,
I can speak for myself, and I assume a fair number of our colleagues, that I wouldn't support a tax increase.
No,
And yet, you know, we're then put in a position,
yes,
by the proponents of this to then make difficult decisions that they won't have to make, which
right.
is
right.
cut funding to primary and secondary education, cut funding to higher education.
Well, that's right.
Cut funding to roads and bridges and infrastructure priorities.
Well, that's right, Senator. Really, we need to, you know, over the next, you know, next couple of months, many of our friends from back home representing higher education institutions, K through 12, certainly people who care about our transportation infrastructure, they're going to be coming to us saying we need more money for this or for that. And, you know, hey, a lot of their requests have merit.
I think they should be proponents of what we're trying to do and opponents of the IP.
Because if this IP passes and the mechanics work out like the advocates wish, Medicaid first, everything else second, then they're getting cut. They're getting cut.
And so,
the advocates, the hospitals, they don't have to go to your school district or my school district and say, we're cutting your funding, your foundation formula amount by 20%, 30%. They don't have to do that. They just get funded automatically, unless it's subject to appropriation, Senator, which is, I believe, is what your SGR does.
What my SGR does. You know, and another thing about the timing, we talked about this whenever we had our caucus retreat, actually. We had an economist come in
right.
and said, look, it's great, everything that's going on in the economy right now is taking off, but we're due at some point for a correction.
Absolutely.
And a recession.
Absolutely.
And so the irony is that even though right now we have historic low unemployment,
3.5%.
You know, and yet the proponents of this know that there's a recession right around the corner.
Sure.
Presumably will hit right around the same time that expansion hits.
Probably.
And then what is that going to do to the state's budget? What kind of position is that going to put the legislature in to start making those difficult decisions?
Yeah, we're going to be in a tough situation anyway. We always are whenever there was a recession. Of course, I got to the Missouri House just after the recession of the early 2000s, and then of course I was out of office in 2009 when really the real big budget problems happened after the Great Recession. Someday, I mean, the business cycle, we cannot repeat the business cycle. There are a lot of good macroeconomic policies that can be made at the federal level and at the state level, but the business cycle cannot be repealed. Eventually, a slowdown will happen. So just like in the good economic times we've been enjoying last year, we saw a decrease in the Medicaid rolls. Someday, we're going to hit a recession. There will be an increase in the Medicaid rolls. And in that case, we will be tight for money for moms and kids, for the ABD population, for the elderly. So not only will this expansion population be competing with education and roads and law enforcement, it will be competing with other Medicaid population expansion, Medicaid populations, people who in many ways are less able to take care of themselves, like the aged, blind, disabled, and pregnant women and their children. So, Senator, I think fighting Obamacare Medicaid expansion is a fight for fiscal responsibility. It's a fight to protect the taxpayers, and it's also the right thing to do in the long term for the sustainability of the Medicaid program.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
The order of business is introduction of bills. The Senator from the 1st District. Apparently, the Senator from Platt sent two bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 922, introduced by Senator Lueckmeyer, an act relating to business covenants.
Senator, would you care to explain this bill?
No explanation necessary at this time, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 1st was previously recognized. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 923, introduced by Senator Sifton, an act relating to student journalists.
Senator, would you care to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President. I don't know that I'm going to be able to match the discussion that we just had. I am going to try, though. If I could ask one of my colleagues to help me explain this bill, Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th is not in the chamber and likely will not be in the chamber.
Can we try looking for him, Mr. President? I have a pretty good idea. I know where we can find
him. He's not available.
Not available. Well, we will leave it to the Senator from Buchanan and the Senator from the 2nd for the longest discussion of a bill being filed today, let's hope. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. The order of business is introduction of bills. The Senator from the 10th District
is
on her feet.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills to introduce.
Please send your two bills forward.
And at this time, there's no explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 924, introduced by Senator Riddle, an act relating to immunity for child assessment center employees.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 925, introduced by Senator Riddle, an act relating to child care facilities.
Introduction of bills, the Senator from the 13th District.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 926, introduced by Senator Walsh, an act relating to building energy performance standards.
Senator from the 13th, would you care to explain your bill?
No, Mr. President, no explanation necessary.
Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 927, introduced by Senator Schatz, an act relating to an audit of the state auditor.
Senator from Franklin, would you care to explain your bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. I probably should explain that briefly. You know, the auditor's findings and recommendations only carry weight if the people believe in the impartiality and professionalism of the work. The legislature has a statutory obligation to obtain an independent audit of the state auditor's office. We passed this measure last year, did not make it across the finish line in time, and so the Senate takes this responsibility seriously and is working to rectify this now. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. The senator from Phelps County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 928, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to the administering of medications.
Introduction of bills. The senator from Barton County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 929, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to student enrollment in virtual school programs.
Introduction of bills. The senator from the 23rd District.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation required, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 930, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to hospital federal reimbursement allowances.
Introduction of bills. The senator from Clay County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
And no explanation is required at this time.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, President.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 931, introduced by Senator Arthur, an act relating to calculation of average daily attendance for early childhood education programs.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills.
Send your three bills forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 932, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to restrictive employment covenants for physicians and advanced practice registered nurses.
It's getting a little loud in the chamber. If we could take our conversations to the side gallery so that we can hear the secretary read the second bill from the senator representing the second.
Senate Bill number 933, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to physician maintenance of certification or licensure.
And Madam Secretary, please read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 934, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to payments to Mo HealthNet providers.
Introduction of bills. A senator from the 5th District.
Have a resolution, joint resolution.
Please send your resolution forward. Madam Secretary, please read the SJR.
Senate Joint Resolution number 61, introduced by Senator Nasheed, a joint resolution relating to the right of suffrage for former felons.
Senator, would you care to explain your resolution?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this resolution would basically pose a question to voters throughout the state of Missouri. And the question will be, should those individuals that are on probation or parole have the right to vote? Now, we have individuals that have made mistakes in the past. They have had second chances. They come out, don't get in any trouble. But they have to be on parole or probation for 10 years. They have a 10-year or 15-year backup. Even though they have been out of prison for 5 or 6 or 7 years, they still have a 10 or 15-year or 20-year backup on probation or parole. So basically, this here is posing a question throughout the state of Missouri, asking voters, should those individuals have the right to vote? They're paying taxes. And this is really, truly like taxation without representation. They hadn't gotten in any trouble. And so basically, that's the question that's being posed to those individuals throughout the state of Missouri. Should individuals on probation and parole, should they have the right to vote even though they're still on parole or probation? Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Senator from Cape Girardeau County.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
Needs no explanation.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 935, introduced by Senator Wallingford. An act relating to overpayment of health insurance claims.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business and reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objection, the order of business shall be reports of standing committees. Senator from Franklin County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. The list of appointees have been distributed on the desk. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Please send your report forward. Hearing no objection, the waiver of the reading shall be granted.
Mr. President, I move the committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advice consent to these appointments.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Franklin County on the adoption of the committee report. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator.
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Franklin renews his motion that the committee report from gubernatorial appointments be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the committee report. The order of business is reports of standing committees.
Senator from Barrie.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children has a report.
Please send that report forward.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, please read your report.
Thank
Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 32, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children, to which was referred Senate Bill 524, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Sater, Chairman.
Senator Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Government Reform has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 591, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 530, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 557, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Emery, Chairman.
Senator for St. Jean.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking Education Committee has a report.
Please send that report forward.
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, to which was referred Senate Bill 528, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Romine, Chairman.
Senator Butler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your outstanding Transportation Infrastructure Public Safety Committee has a report.
Please send that outstanding report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred Senate Bill 539, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Libela, Chairman.
Senator from Jefferson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Insurance and Banking has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Insurance and Banking, to which was referred Senate Bill 551, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Insurance and Banking, to which was referred Senate Bill 599, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Insurance and Banking, to which was referred Senate Bill 553, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Whelan, Chairman.
Senator from 15th.
Your Committee on Ways and Means has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means, to which was referred Senate Bill 570, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Koenig, Chairman.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 38, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 552, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Rowden, Chairman.
Senator from Platt. No, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on General Laws has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws, to which was referred Senate Bill 575, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Eichel, Chairman.
Now, Senator from Platt.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence has a report.
Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred Senate Bill 600, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Luke DeMeyer, Chairman.
Senator from the 5th.
My personal privilege.
Senator from the 5th District has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I know that many of you have heard what happened yesterday, the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, as well as a few others that was on the plane with him. I just want to see if we can just do a moment of silence and pray for the families that have been impacted by the tragic sudden death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and the coach and his wife, as well as his daughter, as well as the pilot. It was something that we never know will come. We don't never know the hour or the date. But I know that a lot of people are moaning right now, and they're mourning the death of those individuals, and I just want to do a moment of silence.
The Senator from the 5th has requested a moment of silence for the Bryant family. Thank you, Senator. Senator from Butler.
Mr. President, could I inquire the Senator from Green, please?
The Senator from Green does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms is going to summon the Senator from Green County. Senator from Greene County, do you yield to an inquiry from your colleague of Butler County?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Thank proceed.
You. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, big elephant in the state right now is medical marijuana licensing.
You think that's the big elephant in the state right now?
It is a huge elephant.
That has the potential to be a huge elephant, I assume.
Yes.
So we just went through the, this is your inquiry, so you go.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we just went through the process by which the licenses were awarded. Is that correct?
Yes, there was a process.
What do you know about the process, Senator?
Well,
or what kind of feedback have you heard maybe from?
Not good. Not good. Not good. Not well thought out. I'm thinking we might quite possibly outgrow our headlights a little bit. Mostly some serious scoring flaws. And have you been hearing from some of your constituents?
Yeah, so the individuals that I've heard from, the inconsistencies within this scoring criteria has been the biggest issue that I've been made aware of thus far, yeah. where answers are actually explicitly stated in the same fashion and scored differently depending on apparently who was looking at the answer, which I guess is just indicative of a human component. Anytime that you have individuals looking at something, it's not a, you know, I'll date myself here. It's usually what our more seasoned colleagues say, but you know, you used to have a Scantron. You remember a Scantron sheet when you were in school? Or do they have that when you were in school? A Scantron, yeah, where you fill in the bubble and there's running through. And
yeah, the president and I, back when we were in school, we had those mammograph machine things. You turn like this.
Yeah, that's a step
and
or two.
That's how
or
you made
five.
Your copies?
Yeah, that's a couple back before me.
Yes, this thing is full of ink.
But my point with that is, if you fill in the bubble and the bubble is C, you are given either a point or not for that answer. And so there, you've removed the human aspect, I guess, is what I'm saying, which apparently we have not done in this process that we have now been made aware of recently.
Well, it's still being studied. And
I think it'll probably be studied.
It's still being studied,
I imagine.
Let's just say it's a really, really, really big mess.
I think that's a fair statement.
I'm going to be talking about it some more in the next couple of days with a little bit more specifics. But I tell you, this is my 49th year of being in business. I know I keep saying that. It's really
bad. But you're going to say 49th year in the Senate.
This is my 49th year in the Senate. I mean, 7th year, 8th year, going to 8th year in the Senate. But it's really, really a serious flaw that I've seen. I'm not really sure how we're going to dig ourselves out of this, but I'm going to be talking about some more in the next couple of days.
Well, I look forward to visiting with you again.
Yeah, I don't want to tie everybody up tonight because it's a great evening so far. And anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good. We can save some more comments for later.
Right, because this is a serious topic, and we will be talking about it some more.
I agree. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask for a moment of personal privilege.
The senator from the 24th has asked for a moment of personal privilege. Senator, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we don't use moments of personal privileges to announce our own birthdays, but today is my birthday, and I bring that up for the more important reason. Today is also Holocaust Remembrance Day. And as the Jewish member of the legislature, I feel that it's important to note my birthday, the fact that I'm here alongside of the idea that millions of people were slain in the Holocaust. The Remembrance Day is to remember and to honor the victims, the survivors, and the liberators. All of us know the deep, profound impact it has when someone we know and love is taken from us. You heard a point of personal privilege earlier about a public figure and how his death and those families' deaths has shaken the nation. When you look at those individuals that you've lost, or the individuals that we as a nation have lost, and you multiply that by millions, you get the impact of the Holocaust. The separation of children from their families, the separation of brothers from sisters, from parents from each other, the loss of millions of people. I am among the lucky ones. My ancestors were here. My grandparents, my paternal grandparents were here from Russia. And I did not lose immediate family members in the Holocaust. But many and most of the liberators and survivors are in their very late 80s and 90s and older, and we are losing them every day. Today, I was at an event this morning at the Holocaust Museum in St. Louis, which is expanding as one of the places people can go to study this important history. As we lose those survivors and liberators, it's important that we don't lose the history, the loss of the generations who lived through this terrible time in our world's history. So I'm here, and I'm able to celebrate my birthday today. My ancestors were here, but there are those who are not here, who suffered a different fate, and who will never have descendants who will personally remember them. So as we celebrate birthdays and life, we also have to consider man's inhumanity to man when we keep from checking and making sure that we're living and taking care of each other and making sure that all of us have days to celebrate each other, our birthdays, and being together. So today, Mr. President, I would ask that we have a moment of silence to remember the victims, the survivors, and the liberators of the Holocaust on Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Would the members of the Senate and our guests please join the Senator from the 24th in a moment of silence in memory of the Holocaust? Thank you. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire for the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor? And if so, I ask that the reading be waived and that they be printed in the Journal.
There are messages from the Governor. Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived and they shall be printed in the Journal. Senator from Franklin County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you please refer the gubernatorial appointments to the Gubernatorial Appointment Committee?
They shall be so referred. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business shall be announcements. Announcements. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee on Appropriations will meet tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. to hear the Department of Economic Development's budget.
Thank you, Senator. Order of business is announcements. Senator from Newton.
Your Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will meet tomorrow at noon in Senate Room Hearing 1.
Thank you, Senator. Announcements. Senator from Boone.
Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics will meet at 9 a.m. tomorrow in the Senate Lounge.
Further announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned under the rules.